This is Getting It Right, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Tara Waters and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairings Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, Chrissy Cunningham, Steve Harrington, Chrissy Cunningham, Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson. With additional tags for Time Loop, Season 4, Temporary Canonical Character Death. This is written for February Ficlet Challenge 2024, Day 6, for the Time Loop prompt. One second, Steve is standing in the school cafeteria, donated clothes in his hands, watching ashy spores fall on Hawkins. The next, he is driving his car. Robin is sitting in the passenger seat, doing her makeup. Her marching band hat is in the back seat, and the road isn't fucked up by Vecna's megagate. It isn't fucked up at all. There's a deeply concerned pang in the pit of his stomach, and he says to Robin, "Weird question. What day is today?" "Friday," Robin tells him, spraying Banaka down her throat. "No, like, the date." "March 21st. Why?" She gives him that look that says she thinks he's being dumb. He takes the judgment and asks, "1986? Robin nods again, her judgy face kicking up a notch. "Yeah, but why are you asking?" "No reason." He takes a breath and asks, "How pissed would Keith be if I didn't open the store today?" "Pretty pissed," she says. "Why?" Thinking about the last few weeks and how everything started, Steve says, "I've got some things I need to take care of." When Steve explains everything to Nancy, she graciously believes him. "So, if we prevent the deaths, we prevent the earthquake?" Steve nods. "Can you take care of Chrissy and Fred? I'll cover Patrick, and I'll get Sinclair and Henderson to help me with Max." "Just Dustin," Nancy says. And when he raises his eyebrows, she gives him a sheepish look. "Max and Lucas broke up." Steve rolls his eyes. "They were pretty not broken up the last time you saw them." "It's no wonder he forgot," he says. "No one tells me anything," and leaves to enact their plan. Except when he tries, Patrick won't listen to anything he says. The next morning, Chrissy is dead, and Eddie is on the run. Max sacrifices herself as bait. The earthquake wrecks the city. The ash falls. This time, Steve blinks, and he's parked outside Robin's house, waiting to give her a ride to school. This time, when Steve fills Nancy in, he says, "You deal with Max. Get Dustin to help you. I'll talk to Chrissy." "Are you sure?" Nancy asks. "I have a bunch of classes with her, and you were on the basketball team with Patrick." Remembering the shaken look on Max's face after she saw Chrissy's dead body in Eddie's trailer, he says, "I'm sure." Steve catches Chrissy just before lunch. He flirts and asks about her favorite song. She gives it to him. When she gets to Eddie's trailer, Steve is waiting with a Walkman and a cassette full of her favorite song on repeat. He hastily constructed it on his parents' sound system, and now he's handing it to Chrissy, saying, "I know this doesn't make sense, but this will help you more than Eddie's drugs will." He starts the Walkman and puts the headphones on her. "What the hell, Harrington?" Eddie asks, giving him a punch on the arm. "I was about to make a sale." Steve takes his wallet out of his pocket and shoves it at Eddie, his attention trained on Chrissy. "It should start any minute." She smiles at him, saying loudly, "This is the song I told you about." Steve smiles back. "Yeah, I made that just for you." Her teeth are bright white in her smile, and Steve's heart flutters the way it hasn't since Nancy. Eddie throws his wallet at his head, and when Steve checks, it's $30 lighter. Steve ends up smiling over at Eddie, remembering the way Eddie stepped up to help twice in a row when he didn't have to. Eddie looks confused by Steve's smile, but he ends up smiling back. Steve's heart flutters again. "What the hell?" When Steve checks on her, Chrissy's eyes are closed. At first, he thinks she's just enjoying the music, but then she rises off the ground. "Shit!" Steve grabs her, wrapping his arms around her and holding her on the ground until she slumps against him, still breathing. Eddie helps him get her inside, looking freaked the fuck out. "How did you know what was going to happen?" Steve winces and says, "You wouldn't believe me if I told you." They make it all the way to fighting Vecna. He takes Max and Chrissy at the same time. The earthquake splits the town. Eddie dies. The ash falls. Steve wakes up standing next to his car. He's supposed to go pick up Robin. He heads back inside and calls her. She'll ride her bike to school. Steve sneaks into the school a few hours later, heading to the girls' bathroom. Max is in there, and when she sees him, she complains. "Hey! Where's Chrissy Cunningham?" he asks, trying to convey with his tone how serious he is. Max must understand, because she points at one of the stalls. Steve goes up on tiptoes and peeks over the door. He smells puke, and Chrissy is standing there, her eyes rolled back. He swears and pulls a quarter from his pocket, using it to turn the lock from the outside and open the door. Once he's in with her, he puts the headphones on Chrissy's ears and hits play. She comes out of the trance, looks at him with wide eyes, and runs away. He lets her go and fills Max in on the situation. After school, he's sitting outside, waiting for the game to start, when Eddie walks up to him. "What the fuck, Harrington? Why are all my players refusing to play the last session of my painstakingly planned campaign?" "Munson," Steve says, with a frankly exhausted sigh. "Shit is going down that you have no idea about, and trust me, you don't want to know." "Shit is going down?" Munson cries, as dramatic as always. He's drawing attention. "Fuck, fuck, fuck. Shh," Steve hisses, grabbing Eddie's arm and dragging him around the corner of the building, where fewer people can see him. "Please, don't freak everyone out." Eddie looks at him with wide brown eyes. They remind Steve of his mother's. Then he says, "The only reason I'm not screaming bloody murder is because Henderson seems to think you're an okay guy." Won't shut up about it, actually.
Right!
Steve snaps his fingers. Henderson trusts me. I need you to trust me, too.
Trust you with what?
Just... Steve puts one hand on Eddie's shoulder and the other on his chest.
Whatever you do, don't invite Chrissy Cunningham home with you.
Eddie's eyes go wide.
Shit! I'm supposed to meet her, like, now.
I'm coming with you, Steve decides. He'll catch up with the others in a bit.
You can't be alone with Chrissy.
As Eddie walks toward the woods, he narrows his eyes at Steve.
Is this a thing? Like, did her boyfriend rope you into being her chaperone or something? Nobody trusts the freak with the homecoming queen's virtue.
Steve rolls his eyes.
Just trust me when I say I know more about what's really going on than you do.
I mean, you'd have to, he says, kicking a pine cone off the trail that leads out to the picnic table and the park beyond.
It only took you one try to get through senior year.
He's pouting, and Steve's heart does that weird fluttery thing again. Steve is struck by the thought that he really, really doesn't want Eddie to die again. When they get to the picnic table, Chrissy is standing there, stock still.
Shit,
Steve says, running forward and finding her with her eyes rolled back. He circles her and opens her backpack, fishing out the Walkman he gave her earlier.
What's wrong with her?
Eddie asks, as Steve checks the tape, then starts the Walkman playing. He puts the headphones on her ears and tells Eddie,
Would you believe an attack by an evil magician?
Eddie makes one short,
ha, that's halfway between amused and deeply, deeply concerned.
Steve tells him,
Wasn't joking.
Just before Chrissy comes around. She shrieks and cries and lets Steve pull her into a tight hug as she shakes.
When all is said and done, Steve's only extended her life by a few days. Vecna takes her when their vigilance slips. He lets Eddie comfort him after finding her body, but 12 hours later, he's dead too.
Steve tells Robin,
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know how to change it.
I don't think you can change it, she says, hugging him. You can't bring people back from the dead.
Except Max had been dead for a minute. Elle brought her back. Elle! He needed to get Elle to Hawkins sooner.
The ash falls. Steve wakes up in his house, a cup of coffee to his lips. He sets down the coffee and digs his mom's credit card out of her purse. He calls Robin to tell her to bike, then gets information to hook him up with an airline. He buys 4 one-way tickets, then calls the Byers house in Lenora. Mrs. Byers picks up.
This is Steve Harrington. Hawkins has a code red.
He gives her the information for how to pick up the tickets he bought.
Are you sure this is necessary? Mrs. Byers asks him.
Ma'am, it's a matter of life and death.
You know Jane doesn't...
Yeah,
he says, remembering snippets of the story he got from Mike and Elle when they arrived in Hawkins after the first go-round.
He doesn't know how he's going to shock her powers back into her, but this is the only thing he hasn't tried yet. I still think you guys need to be here.
We're on our way.
He makes Chrissy's tape, and it's still a little early, so he makes one for Eddie, too.
During one of the trips around, he learned Eddie has a fondness for an Etta James song his mom has on vinyl. He only records it to the cassette once, running out of time. It'll have to do. Steve is able to prevent Chrissy's death that night, and then Elle is there, and Mrs. Byers. He's not the only adult in the room anymore, and he happily lets her and Nancy run things from there. He's almost asleep on the floor in Nancy's basement when Chrissy lays down next to him and says, "Thank you for saving me." "Oh, yeah, sure," he says, waving away her gratitude like the way she's looking at him doesn't make his heart thump harder in his chest. With a soft smile, she grasps his hand, and Steve falls asleep holding hers. Vecna takes L, uses her to kill the others. Steve is choked out by vines with no one to save him. If the ash falls, he's not there to see it. Steve wakes up in bed. He gets dressed, starts making Chrissy's tape, and calls the Byers house. "Steve?" asks Mrs. Byers. "It's 5 a.m.
Hawkins has a code red, but I need you to bring Elle someplace else. I don't remember the coordinates or anything, but call Dr. Owens and tell him that Elle needs Nina now. Today. We're talking end of the world if she doesn't."
"You sure?"
"Absolutely."
She sighs, then says, "I'll see what I can do." Chrissy's tape is only half done by the time Steve needs to leave to pick up Robin. If there's some downtime, he'll make another later. He parks at the school and goes in with Robin, asking, "Where is Chrissy Cunningham's locker?" Robin shrugs and says, "Over there, I'm pretty sure," as she gestures down the hallway.
"What's going on with you today?"
"I'll tell you later," he says, wishing for just a moment that he could take her and drive away from this place as fast as possible and not feel horribly guilty about how many more kids die if he's not here. When he finds Chrissy, he puts on a flirty smile and says,
"Hey, a little birdie told me you were feeling down lately. I think listening to this will help."
He hands her the Walkman and gestures for her to put it on. She looks tired, and he knows Vecna's already in her head, but she still gives him an amused smile and puts on the headphones. After hitting play and listening for a few seconds, she says, "How did you know I like this song?" Steve smiles and shrugs, leaving her wanting more as he walks away. He finds Eddie with Dustin and Mike. Dustin asks,
"What the hell are you doing? You don't go here anymore."
"I know that," Steve says, rolling his eyes. Then he leans closer and says, "Code red." Dustin's eyes go wide, and Mike asks,
"Maybe Eddie shouldn't be here for this?"
"Be here for what?" Eddie asks. Steve grabs him by the arm and tells Dustin,
"No. We're gonna need him. We're gonna need everyone we can get."
"Shit," Mike says, looking down the hallway. He waves someone over, and Lucas joins them.
"How bad are we talking?" Dustin asks.
Eddie pulls his arm out of Steve's grip.
"Yeah," Mike says, "like you found a weird mushroom, or like we need the National Guard."
"The second," Steve says, just before the bell rings. He winces. "Right, they can't exactly leave school whenever they want.
Meet me out front after school."
He taps Mike's arm. "And bring your sister." Mike nods. Steve heads for the door, getting halfway there before realizing Eddie is following him.
What?
Yeah, I can't go to school with a mystery like this hanging over my head.
He grins, like this is fun.
God, Steve understands why he and Dustin are friends. You're gonna have to explain everything to me.
I don't know everything.
But you know enough. And he practically skips beside him. What is it? Some sort of organized crime? A natural disaster at the family video? Aliens?
Eddie knows where he works.
Steve leads the way to his car and drives them back to his house while he explains everything to Eddie.
He wants to make Chrissy a better tape. He should probably start one for Max, too. It's always been useful for her to have it a few days early.
He tells Eddie, I have to get it right this time.
What do you mean, this time?
Steve hasn't explained the time loop yet, has he?
God, it's all getting so jumbled, he admits.
They park in the driveway, and Steve leads the way to the front door, explaining how many times he's been trying to change things and how nothing has worked.
Fuck, that sounds stressful, Eddie says.
Then he grins and closes the front door behind him before pulling a baggie of green plant material out of his pocket.
What do you say? God, I want to, Steve groans.
He pushes his hands back into his hair.
I've been running from one thing to the next for like a month straight. Hardly any downtime.
He looks over at Eddie and remembers the look Eddie gives him sometimes when they're near the end of this and it's almost time for Eddie to die. He doesn't want Eddie to die.
He can't afford to dull his senses right now. He just needs something to take the edge off.
As soon as the idea pops into his head, Steve says,
Hey, don't kill me, okay?
Why would I...
Steve pulls him into a kiss.
Eddie goes tense, for long enough that Steve is sure he's read everything wrong. Eddie doesn't know him, not the way Steve knows Eddie. But then he's kissing back, and yeah, it's exactly what Steve needs.
They head back to school at the end of the day. And Eddie helps Steve keep Chrissy safe. All week, it's like the three of them look out for each other.
Steve looks out for Robin and Nancy, and Dustin and the kids, too.
But there's a different feel to his interactions with them.
The thing with Eddie, he understands.
But the way they both gravitate toward Chrissy is new.
New feels important. Elle ends up half a step ahead of Vecna. She keeps him pinned, while Steve, Nancy, and Robin kill his body.
Chrissy doesn't die. Neither does Max.
There's no earthquake, no donations at the school, no ash.
Steve wakes up on a new day. Eddie snoring in his bed. And they have a date planned with Chrissy for later that evening. He gets to make new memories, experience new days, and bask in the thought that he's finally gotten it right. The end.